Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
Time for Tech Talk. We're joined by Wong Kai Yee. He is a tech contributor for the Business Times. A narrowly divided U.S. Supreme Court allowing a group of consumers to move forward with a lawsuit charging that Apple overcharges customers for App Store purchases. Apple has asked the courts to throw out the lawsuit, arguing the law only allowed app developers, not customers, to bring such a case. Give us a background on the case.
Anyone here has ever thought that your app purchases on the Apple App Store have been way too high? Well, a group of people in the US are moving forward with this class action lawsuit. So essentially, Apple basically locks in everyone to their platform unless you sort of jailbreak your iPhone. I think this term is maybe unfamiliar to some of the listeners. So basically, it means to sort of unlock your iPhone to make it do things that the manufacturer didn't intend it to. So if you do that, then you will be able to install apps from other app stores. But in this case, Apple being Apple, kind of locks everyone into their own ecosystem, you know, so you use Apple everything, right? Mm-hmm. And these people are saying that, well, you know, other platforms like Android, Mac OS, and even Windows, you can download apps from anywhere, right? So if you use an Android phone, those people use Android phones, they can download apps from basically anywhere. Like even Amazon has an Android app store, and you can download apps from that Amazon app store, and sometimes they have competitive prices. So the lawsuit basically says that Apple's iOS platform, when you lock other platforms out, like and you can charge this 30%, no, this is untenable. If you actually allowed other people into your ecosystem, you could be charging far less. And this 30% is the commission that's paid to Apple by the app developers. Mm-hmm. So obviously the app developers are going to maybe jack the prices up a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. So we've got a big fight in our hands here, and it's actually gone to the Supreme Court.
I see.
In the US, yeah.
I'm curious. Well, what's Apple's defense in this case?
So it's a really curious thing. So Apple is basing its case on a 1977 case about brick prices. Brick prices, of all things. So in the 1970s, the U.S. state of Illinois sued a company called Illinois Brick, arguing that it had overcharged for bricks used in public projects. But the bricks had actually passed through various contractors during the construction process. So basically, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that only these contractors and not the state could sue Illinois Brick for its high prices. Apple basically argues that same logic applies.
Right, right.
So in Apple's view, like customers buy apps from developers, right? And not technically Apple themselves, because Apple don't make apps. So and these customers, they in turn pay Apple. The developers in turn pay Apple a 30% commission for distribution services. So Apple says that, well, hey guys, you know, if you think we are overcharging for app distribution, you know, it's only the distributors who can sue, and it's not the customers. But the U.S. Supreme Court, in a single sentence, they're saying like, hey, it's Apple. It's you who are overcharging the customer. Your credit card gets billed by Apple. Your credit card doesn't get billed by the developer. Oh. Like what appears in your credit card statement is Apple, right? Mm-hmm. If you've ever bought an app for the App Store, you think about it. So, interesting development here.
Let's hope it doesn't come down to hair-splitting and precedent law to figure out what we all want, which is lower prices for our apps. I didn't even know that you could pay cheaper for something on Android.
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
I mean, even
because that becomes your whole world when you're an Apple user.
And on Android, you actually can download apps for free. Well, this is a very gray area, obviously. So you can actually, there's an option in every Android phone. You can check that option and say, hey, I want to download an app from this other app store. And then the phone tells you, okay, you're on your own. You know, you're going to download this. You're on your own if that's anything going to happen to your phone. But it actually gives you that option.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
Wong Kai Yee joining us. He is the tech contributor for the Business Times, and you are listening to Tech Talk. Now, there's been concern that some new surveillance technologies may be too intrusive. San Francisco has become the first U.S. city to ban the use of facial recognition tools by its police and other municipal departments. I saw this story yesterday and I thought, wow, what's going on? Why is the city banning the use of facial recognition tools? We're hearing about airports around the world looking into these tools to make their processes easier.
Exactly, yeah.
But why is San Francisco saying no?
So it all starts, or it all started rather, with a false arrest of a citizen back in 2014. So this particular lady, Denise Green, her Lexus, the one that she was driving, was misidentified as a stolen vehicle by an automated license plate reader. So she was pulled over by police, forced out of her car and onto her knees at gunpoint by six officers. And long story short, the city spent $500,000 to settle lawsuits linked to her detention. So we can see where this is kind of going for people who are civil rights advocates, for example, like say, hey, this is I'll be rather extreme example, but a real life one nevertheless. And it's like the city needs to spend $500,000 to settle all these things. And I'm pretty sure this is not the only example that has come out of automated, machines that can read your face. Mm-hmm. And definitely it's something to think about. It's still in its infancy. Facial recognition is still in its infancy. And rightly so, people are kind of worried.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, what happens if technology gets better? Will this potentially kind of mean that the ban could be lifted?
Exactly so, right, Bernard. So San Francisco is actually banning it, but it's still allowing facial recognition or facial analysis systems, development of such systems to progress, to keep going. So in fact, I think once that, this kind of technology actually advances way beyond what it is today and it goes way beyond its infancy and starts to really get into its own, then maybe the city might revise the ban, because there are legitimate sort of uses for this technology, right? So like Michelle, you mentioned earlier, airports, for example. So I think was it Changi Airport? Oh, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Don't quote me on this. Passengers, all they have to do is just walk through the gates and they'll be scanned. You don't even need to scan your passport. Yeah. Something like that, right?
Yeah. Lots of airports around the world looking into that. And exactly. The funny thing is, most of us are so primed to be used to facial recognition because we hold our phones up to get into
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Like in our daily lives, yeah. You don't know how many records, like even my computer, the one I'm holding here, for example, all I have to do is just look at it and it logs me in via my face. That's facial recognition for you. And then people are just wondering like, hey, these systems are sort of like, oh, bad things, but kind of like you're using this in your everyday life.
And then you have SF banning this.
I guess civil rights advocates are saying that, hey, it's law enforcement that has access to your facial image. And so they're worried about, potential abuse for your likeness.
All right. Well, moving on. He is Wong Kai, tech contributor for the Business Times. For the reserved among us, a new feature from Uber could be a lifesaver for you. In the U.S., Uber is rolling out a new series of features for its higher-priced luxury cars. Service Uber Black, including a quiet car mode for riders who want to discourage those chatty drivers. So does that mean you can select no one talk to me in the app?
Yes, really? You actually can. So can I just say that we should really have this here? It's not that I don't want to talk to drivers, right? But after the end of a long work day, really all you want to do is just...
You're just out of your word count.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you're out of your word count, your verbal word count for the day. You don't want to talk anymore. You just want to go home in silence. And Uber Black in the US is giving users that exact option. So among several other options, you have a option that says conversation. You can either choose happy to chat, no preference, or quiet preferred. So when the driver
pay more for a quiet preferred,
you actually have to pay more for that. So, for your driver not to talk, you actually have to pay him more. So, but I mean, this is amazing, right? Mm. So you don't have to, be awkward if the driver wants to talk to you on the way home. You don't have to sort of like smile and nod and laugh and all that. You can just tell him, hey, I just want a quiet ride home.
Did you see my booking just now? Is it quiet?
Yeah. Hey, sorry. Did you see my booking? Yeah, it's quiet mode, please.
What other new features is Uber offering?
So in the US, unfortunately, we don't get it here. I mean, I really hope that it all comes here. But you can choose what temperature you want in the car. So if you want cool, or if you want help with your bags, so you can choose, I would like help with my bags. Or you can choose no preference at all, and the driver can choose to help you or not. Mm. So nice.
Only for the high-end luxury cars.
Only for the high-end luxury cars. So, maybe those of us who pay like $5 for a Grab ride don't get that sort of luxury.
Hey, I would pay for peace.
I would pay for that too.
Okay, Wi-Fi. What does Wi-Fi stand for? This is your fact of the day.
Has anyone thought what Wi-Fi stands for? Like, it sounds like a short form for something, right? Yeah. Like, it's Wi-Fi, doesn't make sense.
Sounds like something it actually doesn't, company exactly, created.
It doesn't actually mean anything.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of people think that it stands for wireless fidelity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It actually doesn't.
Mm.
So it's a backronym. So someone came up with the word Wi-Fi and someone backronymed it to wireless fidelity, but that wasn't exactly how it came up with. Like, a branding company actually just came up with the word Wi-Fi because they thought it rhymed with hi-fi.
Oh, are you serious?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So hi-fi, you know, it rolls off your tongue quite nicely, right?
It's like, yeah.
Hi-fi, right? And Wi-Fi.
Oh my goodness, you're messing with my mind. Now I'm overthinking everything. Thanks for joining
us. Not everything means that much.
Or anything at all.
Oh, yeah.
Tech Talk, our tech contributor for the Business Times, Wong Kai-yi there.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.